For those on the audio stream, we're having a bit of a delay due to trying to get enough members to constitute a quorum, so we start this. Please just bear with us. Okay, let's get started. in the distance. Firstly, welcome everybody, thanks for coming. We've got a couple of apologies to people that couldn't make it here and nationally, I'd say. Due to the small number of people, a quorum require 28 members that we need to have elections. What we have elections, we'll minute taking place and ratify everything. Just read the results to the membership list and they can approve or reject if they feel things are fair and we take it from there. Actually, is a list of all the people, the nominees, and there's just a little bit about them. The only people that we don't have are Calvin and Paul. We don't have CVs for them. They are happy to stand on the committee. Didn't get it. Okay. Sorry. For those who's not here, Alan has put a link at these documents. First up, if you saw those documents, have a look at the people that are standing, and then we'll have the elections later on. Next up is Alan with his chairman of the happening of ISOC over the last year.
Thanks very much, Saul. And then I think that's much appreciated. It is the attempt at the AGM, and that was basically due to very low numbers of RSVPs to this attempt. But I'm pleased that we're at least just getting on with things and the members for their ratification or objections subsequent to the meeting. Basically, my report is going to be quite brief. I'm going to be talking about what in over the last year in the different areas of activity and involved with the membership and geography. Unfortunately, Mervyn Pierce, who was elected at last AGM, just didn't do any of the membership work. Filled in for him in that area. Communities concerned, Saul's head of community as well as vice chairman, public pulled off all the policy development issues with the whole policy subcommittee. Naresh Aji, who's our treasury, is passed on his apologies. He's not here tonight, mainly because it's Diwali Day. So apologies to all those celebrating Diwali Day didn't come to our attention when we put the date. Outreach, which we formalized this year in Internet Fiesta, was the handler of the Outreach Committee. And we co-opted Breton Vine, who seems to have been looking after the technical elements in Internet Society since inception. I've got a very brief slide. It's just three or four points as far as the different pillars in society is concerned. What we intend to achieve over the next year, or what we discuss of, is dependent on the outcome of the election and the new committee. Members is concerned. I know the last AGM was very aggressive, hoping to get at least 1,000 members. Well, we haven't quite achieved 1,500 members, but we've almost doubled membership tally. and that includes all those that have unsubscribed from the membership. We've lost about 10 to 15 members over the last year, but we've gained the same number as now that we started with over the past year. So I think that's a great of success to being able to double the membership over the period of a single organization that's really been in existence since 1996. Annisburg, we had Ramon Thomas, who was elected also at the last. Unfortunately, Ramon resigned in around June, July due to lack of participation, shall I say. Ramon worked very, very hard to try and get Johannesburg chapter up and running again. But it seems like there are little differences between Johannesburg and Cape Town. The whole concept of doesn't seem to be sustainable in Johannesburg. It seems that events that are free are not well supported at all. The more expensive that the conference is, the more benefits the organization can offer you, and therefore the more attractive it is. Whereas in Cape Town, it seems to work the other way around. So I'm really not this year. Actually, I don't have the IRC open either, so I'm sure there's a lot of comments flying the IRC concerning Cape Town here, and I'm making Johannesburg comments. We've had also something kind of developed, shall I say, in Pretoria and Durban. None that have also resulted in any kind of established chapter presence or committee presence, but kind of interesting vibes. For example, subsequent to our outreach going into some detail, there were a lot of queries from Chuan, from the whole Pretoria area. And Mahendra was there, but it doesn't materialize into any real activity. Similarly, in Durban, we had one event, which was actually an ISPA-initiated event, the Internet Service or ISPA, the Internet Association. And ISPA went to Durban on a roadshow and established more of an Internet Service provider's to more kind of an arm in Durban. And they haven't. These members have really got together regularly to meet or to join in the national committee meetings that are held in the ISPA. And as an add-on, they asked us if we would accompany them on their roadshow and also talk to the ISPs about the Internet Society and potentially the whole Internet Society into the rest of the Quinlu. And we worked quite closely with the Internet Service Providers Association over the past year. We discussed being a member of the Internet Service Providers Association. That might work out because we're not really a kind of member. We're not a member environment. But we do have an understanding that we work together, and if any of our members want to attend their meetings, we're welcome to. We do collaborate. Unfortunately, he reported back to me this morning that he apologized. He couldn't make the meeting as well. His grandmother passed away, and the people that were at meeting, which was apparently not the Internet Service Providers Association meeting there, they all were already members of the ISA. So we have around 10 members in Durban, around 10 members in Pretoria, 40 to 50 members in Johannesburg of the total 271. Cape Town's where our major growth and our major activities have been happening. But to wrap this up, I should say that there's quite a substantial amount of admin work in managing the membership list. It's a matter of updating the spreadsheet as well as updating the mailing lists in order to ensure that all the members are actually accounted. When members resign from the membership list, one needs to remove them also off the list and so forth. There's also an international membership list in the ISOC global environment, which is maintained as well, but at the moment we don't really have the resources to do all this admin. It's not very time consuming, but I'd say that it's going 3 hours per month to look after the membership area. The community portfolio by Saul, our vice chairman. We've had three community six. I think we did well with three. They were quite poorly turned. I think this is definitely a point for discussion and debate. Size of our first, and that was coincided with the ICANN meeting, which was held in Cape Town in December. And together with Vin Cerf, the chairman of ICANN, one of the net, we had him involved in that meeting together with of the World Blind Union and the blind community. We had two blind people. We had John Clensen from the ITF representative to ICANN, the Internet Engineering Task Force, sitting on the panel. And means that ICANN and the World Blind Union could collaborate, potentially involve more blind people in ITF or going campaigns to drive better standards for accessibility. I found it a very, very interesting forum. I feel that there's such a turnout. I think that there are colored people here in the room that were at that. In May, we had a usability community forum, which really came out of the discussions that we had in the to December meeting. We identified that usability design standards was a topic really interesting to our members. And we had two experts, an expert on user and an expert on stands, discussing those areas in from in May. And in July, we changed the format from trying to really get more people involved, from more of a presentation where we had experts talking, to more of a community discussion, a debate. And this was a particular net. It was discussing what we can do about the high cost of telecoms, which is on many people's minds. I think the best turnout that we had of all three different community forums. Public Voice has been also active, I think, this past year. We've established the mailing list, which has well over 30 members, I believe, now, some regular discussion. We've also written an oral presentations on convergence bill and policy development process. We also participated in the CASA policy development in both written and oral form. We had a number of different conferences, including the preparers, ISPA iWeek. There was a Sanganet conference, and I've actually lost track of all those. We've also had a great deal of exposure in the press, so I sense that that's attributed a large deal to a great extent the increase in. At the same time, I think we need to constantly evaluate the purpose of the South African chapter. Who are our competitors, or what are the alternatives? Certainly within this space, this has attracted a large number of members that are interested in getting involved in ISOC, are to address the issue around the very high cost of telecoms. Certainly that's why I got involved in the first place. A number of us are involved because of that reason. But there are other organizations like ASL, which is also a community of views effectively that try to argue this whole position, and in all the other areas that we participate in, actually our organizations. Last year, Public Voice, we prepared a position on the telecom situation. I did going for multi-stakeholder approach. I think a large number, most of you actually, our last forum, which our last community forum where we were going to do, we had paper. We've distributed fairly widely. I think there's opportunity on that. And I'll get to that with one of the plans for the future. Fresh submitted this as the financial report. I sense we need to maybe subsequent to the meeting. I did reply to him. I haven't got a response. I'm not quite up. I don't know how our opening balance could be as our closing balance and have that difference in amounts. It says that our opening balance was 6,320. Sounds quite right to me, but I sense that it was before August this year. I sense that it was in. We basically had to take a bank account which was based in Johannesburg. It hadn't been used, was dormant for 2 years. There was money there, so we thought, well, let's kind of control it. That's one of the aspects of what the treasurer's role is. So we did manage to get control of it. We got new signatories. All these had either left the country or weren't even involved in ISOC any longer. At that, and I sense that was around about the right balance when we took it over. We did have the deficit yesterday where there was a small overspend, taking into account that was 90,000 Rand project. I think there's very small amounts. I know they worked very hard to keep that down as low as possible. Albeit I would have liked to have seen us have a service that will add for our next internet fiesta project. The bank charges, well, I'm not quite sure how that's interest or charge because we seem to end up with a greater balance than what we started off with. We'll get copies of the full financial statements to publish. By the amounts, there must be. And I don't think Naresh managed to get the most current statement. And it's something that Jenny and I and Naresh are in account if anybody asks. And maybe Jenny and I need to go down to the bank and get a statement just to check that everything is there. Switch to the IC. Yeah. Okay, on the technical side, Britain was covered by our technical infrastructure. We have a number of lists on the host and the Hivemind network, a members list. In fact, we never used to use a members list previously. I think we only really created and brought the members list up to date. We're almost reading a quorum. Thank you very much. Welcome, APV. We now do have an up-to-date members list that we're using. Should I say there was members before? There wasn't up-to-date with everybody's email. Very closely, and if you do a who on the MS list, I think you'll find 200 as of today. There's also a policy subcommittee, the committee mailing list being hosted on the Hivemind network. Website's being hosted basically just for in the server room right now, just for convenience sake. our technical services are really low priority. It's not like we depend on the core of the organization. Really what we depend on mostly are members and volunteers to contribute towards ISOC activity. Mission and outreach portfolio. We held a citizen fiesta. Jenny, I think all credit must go to you as the coordinator and organizer of the fiesta. Just go through it quite quickly. I don't know if anybody is familiar. If I can, Alan was at the internet fiesta. We'll go through it quickly. We spent some time considering what to do in education in our region. We did consider all the potential options of creating an education center, running education courses everywhere in each different internet app around the world. They have different models. Sweden, for example, one of them is successful. I mean, the whole raison d'etre, I suppose, of the Internet Society is they hold an annual conference. Similarly, in Mexico, their whole raison d'etre, the annual conference that they hold, which is really around net governance and policy type issues, very successful on a commercial basis, and their core business. But in developing countries, the Internet is a highly proven model amongst the most number of chapters that I'd spoken to, being an event, an outreach event to really create awareness of areas where there is no internet access or internet experience. In South Africa, we worked out that 5% of our population, or 30 million people, have never had an internet. And that's pretty significant considering over 80% of the country has access to telephone. So we thought, well, here's a model which is proven, it's stood in France, it's used widely in the French-speaking countries. In other developing countries, it was also very successfully used. In most of those countries, though, it became redundant in a few years ago, mainly because the majority of the population in most of those countries was aware and had internet experiences. But we found that it was most important, and in South African environment, it highlighted one of the main round, and that is that internet connectivity in South Africa is too expensive. The majority of the population loses out on the access to wealth of information and the social information society. And information society is really a precursor to the knowledge economy. So without any knowledge of what information society is or what it is, people don't know what to use it or why it's important or why we need it for lower prices. So we consider internet fees as certainly the lowest common denominator. But the objective of Information Society by creating a curiosity into advanced communities and to expose people who are really curious but don't have access to affordable internet access, youth to explore the internet, and encouraging internet use within the SME sector and creating demand in society for internet, affordable internet access. Who benefits? The local community benefits in that local internet experience. ISOC-ZA and sponsors benefit in that we're contributing towards society and meeting important social responsibility goals. And eventually, we hope that society as a whole benefits as the word spreads and demand for affordable is created. Pictures of the internet theater. You can see that we were successful in getting over 50 computers connected to a 2 megabit per second UE network connection. It was very good band. Maybe a little lacking on the resources side as far as RAM was concerned. We couldn't run. It's one of our key objectives. Certainly some of the lessons learned on the technical side, sure, the whole systems were visual, not just the network access. PCs were sponsored by the Shuttleworth Foundation, internet by the Uni Network. The actual party, which was there were three equal contributions. The 1,000 Rand, which was contributed by a provincial government, that included setting up of a whole set. There's some performers there. There were DJs going. There were food and drinks. And it was altogether quite a pleasant affair. Another thing that we thought that there needs to be a better coordination, a sound PA system, lectures. There were always more people in the hall, so they were always queued around and there were people waiting that were, I mean, it was a real opportunity for what is the internet, how it can be useful, how to use email, what to do, you know, where to start and all those things. So it's certainly a lot of lessons that we learned for the future. People were made. Story, Jenny, maybe you want to add to this.
We found lots of sports shoes, sports cars, Britney Spears site. computer game. But, you know, the adults were mostly interested in setting up webmail addresses for the first time, and trying to get in touch with relatives sort of thing. But it was a lot of excitement in that room, sure.
theory at the quorum level yet, but welcome to all of those that have just signed on the IRC. So, looking ahead, we chatted about, and we actually created a proposal. Really been waiting for the new committee before we start electing sponsors. But it worked out that the best idea was not to run per year and run, you know, identify which community to hold in. It was so well received by communities around Belhar area that wanted to have an internet fiesta. So it was pointed to have just one more internet fiesta in the next year, because we're going to reach another 1,000 people. If we do it well, we'll reach 1,000 people and we'll get minutes. But considering there are 30 million people that have no idea what the internet is or never had an internet, we ought to be a little bit more ambitious and go for 50 instances and try and get 50,000 out of 30 million people and bring down our costs and increase our cost per head, you know, our impact. And got a great deal of support that's been expressed by the Department of Communications, SURF, as well as the provincial government of the Western Cape. And we're talking about real tangent to support us in a financial way. These people don't want us to sell either. They want us to do 50 internet fiestas. But we hit a bit of a hitch, and this is a lesson we really learned only subsequent to writing up all the lessons, that the Belhar community were very, very upset with us in that we had gone there and we showed them this amazing internet, but it's totally... We went there and showed them this great thing. We gave them all the test drive of Ferrari, the Therosa, and we left them with nothing. Not even a model of one. Not even a stick of one. Not a Ferrari, the Therosa, you know? And although we gave them a whole bunch of options that they could potentially blow up in order to get access to it, they were all... Actually, I mean, when we look closer to it, other than joining our public process, joining a policy subcommittee and trying to apply pressure to government for an outcome take, there was very little that poor communities can do in order to get net access. It's just, we look a lot closer at in Bangladesh, in Togo, in Senegal. You can pick some of the poorest countries. There are internet cafes in very poor areas. But then there are cafes in poor areas in South Africa. We can't even find a single example of a private sector initiative that's running in a poor area. So, that was a real problem, and we came up with some good ideas of how to resolve. I think people have given us a great deal of encouragement, saying, "Don't stop just because of that." We're awareness, and the way that we should do is rather than go to the two specific communities, is sit back and say, "Well, this is what we're offering. We can't price it to communications. We've been trying to do it for 8 years. The good chance that you're not going to be able to afford it. We will leave a nice picture or a plaque on the wall or something after the internet theater. But that's really what we can do. After that, you know, it's up to government and the powers that be to help that the costs will come down in the very near future is to try and drive awareness." And that was really response to this very horrible situation that we're in. But I think that, I mean, the cards are available in there, and we're still open to other options and whether we should go ahead with this or not. So that, oh, yeah. Okay, some good new ideas coming out, right, yeah. Hold on a second. Can you talk so that everybody can hear?
About having a petition on the first petition that can admit that the cost must be reduced.
Good.
I think also... from
I think identify the community leaders there, ask them to come through, and get them to form their own committees, petitioning, and continue so they get some kind of negativity going, so they follow through to the internet fiesta itself.
Okay, we're almost over here. So these are the plans for the upcoming year. I suppose we should set a new target for members, or keep old one with 1,500. Maybe if we could double, like we have doubled in the part of the next year, I'd be very, very pleased. I think as an organization that would show exponential growth, which is a good idea. I'm of the view that the more members we have, the bigger the pool of people that are interested in assisting into the different projects. Internet society is really about what you can do to develop our internet society. By internet society, I think we're all going to benefit from it. So it's a bit of an intangible benefit. As I say, that may be a cultural thing. I'm not sure how we're going to address that. Community, I think there's another big question mark with lots of question marks around community forums. How do we... is community around social, is it education, around discussion, debate, boys that are around doing fun things like having land parties, talk standards. Should we get involved in standards? I mean, is this the scope of ISOZA, because we think that it only happens at a level? Do we need to establish South African standards for interoperability, and that could be useful? I sense that it's quite tricky for us to fly to IETF meetings in UK each time that they're happening. So how do we drive that technology? On the point, let me finish the slide, and actually after this slide I'm going to hand over to Neville, who's going to facilitate 10 minutes of discussion around what we can do over the next year. In public voice, special assistance from the communications portfolio. Did I write that? Oh. Yes, voice. One of the weaknesses that we found in ISOC-Z over the last year is that they're very bad at communicating. Communications, shall I say. We have a great deal, as you've heard, talk about in the last 20, 25 minutes, but we're very poor at blowing our own whistle. We haven't contributed to the global newsletter. Is a newsletter that goes out globally to over 20,000 members around the world, and we have an opportunity to contribute to that on a quarter basis, of which we actually never contribute once. We don't send out regular communications to our own members or efficiently. We had some complaints about that. We don't proactively go to the press about some of the great things that we've done. We're really quite reactive. We wait for the press to approach us to make a comment and things are going on or happening at the time. So we want to appoint someone dedicated to providing communications and readings that have offered their help to help with drafting press and the like. So I sense that the public voice could use a great deal of help with having a communications portfolio. Public voice meaning communications is public voice, public policy. Features I mentioned, the goal is to ideally hold 50 editors. I'd love to have this made a little bit too optimistic. Are we trying to bite off more than we can chew here? Do we have people on the executive committee, or will we have people on the executive committee experience to be able to manage a real budget of many millions of rand, full-time staff, and ongoing activity happening every month in the whole area of outreach? I think with that, I'd like to hand over to Mark. He's got a slide that he's going to talk to and then facilitate.
Your point of view is that if an organization has a positioning in the mind of other people, what you say about yourself is almost irrelevant. It's what other people think about you that's important. And I would suggest that most people who don't know anything at all about ISOC, when they heard the name Information Society, if they were interested at all, the kinds of things that would come into their head are kind of some of those things over on the left there, which all seem kind of vaguely internet related, if you're interested in these things at all. You know, like the World Summit and the Convergence Bill and ICANN, which has even been in the news a bit recently, even in Time magazine and things like that. And then if you're interested in some of these areas, then you might be aware that there's this thing called the South African ZA Domain Name Authority, and there's all this stuff. So they're the kind of obvious things that somebody out there might think the Internet Society was concerned with. But in fact, as Alan has pointed out from the things that we do, we're not really concerned with any of those, which is a bit of a problem, maybe. So there's kind of two options one could do. We could say about the Internet Society, maybe it should be doing other things that may be more closely fit with what people might perceive the Internet Society to be doing. Or on the other hand, maybe we could use these things to give the Internet Society some kind of positioning. Alan, as I've heard him speak on the phone when journalists have phoned up, has got very good at being somewhat politician-like, in that regardless of what they ask him, he always gives them the same answer. which is that you can guess what the answer is. You know? but I think that's a very good kind of strategy. And so maybe as a kind of recommendation, if I could just get the ball rolling for just 5 minutes worth of input from you all, maybe we should have, as the Internet Society, some kind of position on things like ICANN or the Convergence Bill or whatever, which we can use from the point of view of communicating with the press and with others. But and then when anybody phones us up or asks us what we think about these things, we can give our stock answer and promote the things we're really interested with. So that's really my brief kind of proposal for maybe 5 minutes worth of discussion. about what the Internet Society should really be doing in the next year. Should we be doing the things that Alan has proposed there, or are there any other ideas which maybe would be useful thinking about? Anybody got anything to say?
Something that Alan Levine said a little earlier about standards made me want to speak, and it ties in nicely with this. I think there is very useful input that ISOC/ZA could be giving on some kinds of standards, and I don't mean how the bits move over the wires. I'm thinking more of things like truth in advertising related standards. So, you know, couldn't ISOC perhaps have an opinion on what kinds of characteristics a service has to have before you can call it broadband, or what kinds of characteristics a service has to have before you can call it internet access? And yeah, I made the same suggestion to the ISPA and was volunteered to be on a committee for which I haven't done any work to.
I think it's something that we need to, or something that Alan's really touched on, is that we need to be more in the public eye and get out there and promote what we do so people know what we're about. And so when we do say something, people actually know what we stand for. Yes, we are in the media quite a bit, but how many people that read the paper and see us actually know what we do? And we did the Fiesta. We need to get out there and do it. We submit a paper. We sometimes forget that we're representing the layperson, the man in the street, not industry. And we forget that sort of the convergence build and all these things are pretty actually technical documents. The man in the street doesn't know what it's actually about. We need to be actually putting it out there in basic terms and saying, this is the convergence build, this is what it's about, and this is what's wrong with it, from the end user perspective.
Good, thanks for that. So an idea almost of being a little bit more of a kind of users association for the internet, really. Yeah, giving some people some leads as to what's going on. So if you're a user of the internet, you can get a lead from the Internet Society.
I think that whatever we do, we have to stir up a little more energy in this organisation. More Coca-Cola. One idea might be to instigate blogs on subjects that are dear to our heart. Now, I don't know, but that might be one way of bringing the membership into the loop here, because that's what's sorely needed in this organisation. Members just don't know what we're doing. So that's one idea. Of course, we've got to be careful that we don't overlap with things like the My ADSL blogs, which are quite good and touch a lot of subjects that are important to us. Yay! That's my idea.
Now, mailing lists are good, but you have to be a member to be on it, whereas I think a blog is a good idea, because then you can find out what it's all about without being a member, and then maybe, you know, join up that way. And
yeah, from the IRC, there's Russell from Rhodes University. Welcome, Russell. How about petitions at the fiestas to show government that there would be support for these technologies in poor areas? And a live person says it. I think that came up in our discussions here as well. Another point that he rose was, I'd like to see ISOC pushing e-government, them is us, Russell, pushing e-government initiatives, especially ensuring government sites are properly accessible, properly translated, etc. So really being like standards, policemen, I don't think that's a good word, standards, evangelists. Usability in standards, evangelists, spam, kind of anti-spam evangelists, those types of things. I think that's interesting from a standards view and activity.
Some best practice documents, something like that. Mm-hmm. Best practice documents,
In fact, at the global level, ISOC does publish a number of different best practice documents in various different areas of special areas of expertise, and we could become the evangelists of those best practice. I think that's an interesting is establish a whole standards branch, because it's the one pillar of internet society activity that we don't do here. ISOC, get an ISOC kind of, a stamp. We could go further than just standards and say, well, is this best practice as far as policy making is concerned? Because that's kind of what we do already, anyway. Not so close to the microphone. Okay.
Hi, Paul Vecchiotto. I think a couple of things. First of all, the standards issue I think is quite important. I think one of the ways we can publicize or get generate a lot of publicity for ISOC is to every now and then do surveys on South African websites and just see how many are actually following any kind of international standards. Alan, you and myself once did a bit of an off-the-cuff survey like that. And that'll help educate people who are designing this. It might upset a few people, but that's good. Controversy is not a bad thing. So that is one way of generating some publicity. Another thing is, because ISOC does seem to have a heavy bent towards policy making, the ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, their councils will be chosen by a panel that's going to be appointed by Parliament. I think it might be a good idea for ISOC to have a member on that panel, make representations towards that. I think it'll also catapult the society into a far larger public policy making sphere. As far as I can tell, they haven't considered anybody from civil society, and I think ISOC are well positioned for that.
Thank you, Paul. Anybody else? Another.
Hi, this is Paul Esselar as opposed to Paul Vecchiotto, but we actually have a similar interest in mind. Paul Vecchiotto frequently goes to Parliament and speaks to the people for the Department of Communications. One of the things that that has struck me from being in the policy portfolio is that it's a very movable target, moving target. We had a whole position on the convergence bill of what we thought the problem was and what needs to be solved, and now as a result of the convergence bill being changed fairly substantially to now become the electronic communications bill, the same criticisms are no longer really valid. Not in entirely the same way. My point being that in the area of policy, there's a lot to speak about, and it moves quite quickly. And without being very much up to date with it in a sort of constant fashion, you risk being dated fairly quickly. And I have found that to be a large area to cover at the moment. One of the other things that I wanted to put, and I see myself as mostly responsible for the lack of action in this regard. When I went and I spoke about the world WIGIG and WISIS, I'm trying to remember exactly what they stand for. World Summit on Information Society, and WIGIG was the working group on internet governance who was doing it for the summit. What was really interesting there was that I suddenly came into contact with a great deal of NGOs, all of them looking at the internet, most of whom didn't really know who we were, and we didn't know who they were, and they all said that we should speak, and then we didn't. And that did strike me as the one thing that speaking for my own self as a result of that, I just don't have the time to make that happen.
Hi, Saul. Just two quick points. Firstly, I think we need to drive the membership. We've mentioned it before, Alan's spoken about it. But the more members we have, the greater the population we represent, the more seriously we can be taken, and the more of a voice we have. Obviously, the more people that you have behind you, it packs more weight. Slightly off the topic, though, is one of the greater ways we have and can get members quickly, well, and easily, is through the community forums we have. But the problem we need to do is need to find out what people want and what people are interested in, because it's no good having topics that we think we're interested in and no one else is interested in them, so no one attends. We need to find what people want out there and provide forums or community workshops on those topics to get the get the members in and get new members in who are to come and participate.
Mark Neville here again. Anybody else got anything to add? Lots of ideas there.
I'm Bill Gates from the Microsoft Corporation. Or otherwise, Stephen Davies, and I'm not quite as rich as him, unfortunately. I guess I'm just trying to figure out exactly what sort of a social organization ISOC wants to be, because I guess there's, if it's policy and all that stuff, I suppose it addresses our interests of the membership that we've got, I suppose, which is people who kind of probably been around the internet for quite a while. You know, this, the internet as it is in South Africa is scratching their itch at a kind of price that they can tolerate, and the kind of techie and all the rest of it, whereas those guys come into the fiesta and all those new members and all the rest of it, I suppose the internet society needs to be doing things like telling them, trying to help them understand what a convergence bill and a e-cast a thing and a this and that means to their life, and showing them how, I don't know, how to get onto webmail and get and receive emails, and how maybe you could use the internet with an instant messenger client to talk to somebody, some really simple stuff like that. So I don't know if it splits two ways or whether we need to pick one or do both or what the deal is.
Thank you very much. Well, lots of ideas there, but it does seem to be sort of moving in the direction maybe that we should at least position ourselves to the extent that we can, more of a kind of users association as much as anything else, which would both give us more of a platform, attract more people, and allow you to do more things. So maybe we should take that into account going forward into 2006, whoever ends up on the committee. Have I said enough? Thank you, Alan.
Thanks very much, and thank you all for your participation. Without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Saul Steyn, who's the chair of the nominating committee. And I'd like to also welcome our geographically furthest participant, Lucy Lynch from the USA. We also have...
Is she eligible to be a member?
Anyone can be a member. As long as you're willing to receive an email on our members' a mailing list, you're a member. According to the it is constitutional. Yeah, no, we can have any members from anywhere. In fact, we have members from all over the world. A very small number, but we have members from a number of different African countries as well. So, oh yes, sorry. Saul, chairman of the nominating committee.
Okay. What we decided to do is we're going to elect the four posts, the chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. Those positions have to be allocated tonight during the elections. The other members who have and positions are going to be elected, and their positions will be chosen during a committee meeting. Okay. We have Alan Levine, who's prepared to stand as the chairman. Saul Steyn, myself, prepared to stand as the vice chair. We're looking for a secretary. That position has not been filled. And Naresh has volunteered to act as the treasurer again. The remaining people are Paul, who's indicated to be interested in policy, Jenny in communications, and then we have Lucio and Kelvin, who haven't specified what they would like to do. They've said both have said they'll facilitate wherever they're needed. So I guess we just need to decide. I don't know if everyone can say yay or nay on IRC. Votes for Alan.
Before we vote, may I suggest you need to speak.
Before we vote, may I suggest that we also are missing some potential portfolios.
Secretary?
Outreach? Otherwise, everybody is has got a potential slot.
Yep.
And how many do we have?
Seven.
So, I mean, that's the ideal number for an ISOC committee, and therefore, I mean, as I understand, there's no real need to vote.
Not really. We can just elect you on block.
On block. So, are we going to have one single vote? Okay. Okay, well, since I'm... Sorry, there's one more suggestion. On this discussion now, there seems to be a lot of interest from the community that we potentially start up a standards portfolio, looking at potentially obtaining funding to do some kind of standards auditing, and obviously the standards portfolio could link up very closely with the policy portfolio and looking at, well, what is currently policy as far as standards is concerned, and do they align? There are various government policies as to what are government standards, but there aren't necessarily sufficient policies as to other technical standards that need to be adhered to. So is there support in general for adding a standards portfolio?
There is a standards and protocols portfolio.
I'm not sure, but it's my suspicion that the Constitution would give the committee the power to create or co-opt extra people and form subcommittees and stuff. So I suspect that we could be involved in standards without specifically having a standards portfolio.
I think due to the possibly limited manpower, I think that's a very good option.
I don't think. Oh, sorry, this is Jenny. I'm one of only two women in the room, incidentally. I don't think we talked about the outreach portfolio enough because it's changing fundamentally. And I think that Alan's idea of 50 fiestas for next year, while it's a great idea, it will change this society on a very fundamental way. Yeah, we're going to have to go through all sorts of formal procedures. We're going to be employing people. And I don't know that we haven't discussed that and the impact on the society enough.
Ultimately, I think we need to choose going onto a committee. Yes, it will possibly change the committee, but as Alan Barrett mentioned earlier on, the committee does have the power to elect additional members and to stand on subcommittees. To co-op people to stand on committees and assist in committees. I think once the committee is formed, one of the first tasks will be to just take the Fiesta project forward. If extra help is needed, get members to assist in that respect, and or get the proposal, employ people, or just to see if that is where the society needs to go. Especially with all these points that have been brought up this evening, I think there's a lot of food for thought to go forward for the next year. I hope we can act, even if we act only get to act on sort of half, on probably even half of them, I think we'll be doing very well. So the question is, can we go ahead and nominate the seven people as proposed?
One block. Well, hang on, how many people are in attendance?
We have a list of those seven again.
Okay. Yeah. the only people that aren't on the piece of paper is Calvin and Lucia. Sorry, no, Calvin and Paul. SLR.
Yeah, that's Calvin plus.
Turn the page over. Alan's comment was, why did we do that? So the decision was, we will... The decision was, we'll elect committee and ratify the elections online to all our members. We've got Alan, Saul, Naresh, Paul, Jenny, Lisha, and Calvin.
Oh, Alan.
Okay, those are the people eligible for election.
Currently nominated.
The only person not currently nominated, well, not currently a committee member, is Lucio, who's currently not a member, but he will be is joining.
Lucio's a member. He's a founding member.
He's a founding member, yes, but not current. He said no. He said he's not current, but he's joining. Okay, so can we elect in one block? Is everyone in accordance with that? Everyone happy? People streaming, is that acceptable?
I'm Alan Barrett. I propose that the seven people whose names we've heard mentioned, and I could run through them if you like. Okay. Naresh Dadji, Lucio Duray, Jennifer Hoosler, Saul Stein, Calvin Duray, and Paul, which Paul?
Paul
Esselar. I propose that those seven people be elected on block to a committee, and that they choose from within their own number a chairman and whatever other portfolios they wish.
Seconded by Paul Vecchiato. Okay. All those in favour? Unanimous down here in Cape Town? And there's no comment from the streaming guys.
Yes, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 streaming positives.
Ah, there we go. Okay, sorry. Great, so that's approved then. Well done, all the committee members.
Any objections?
Okay, in that case, congratulations to the new committee. The first committee meeting will be on the first Tuesday of next month. Of December.
Can I suggest one last thing before everyone goes? And I know this is not necessarily going to be too well achieved, but the one thing that the Internet Society is participation by everyone, not just the committee. So if anyone has some way they'd like to support the committee in a way, shape or form, like Aaron Barrett with a technical way, or, and I'm not volunteering you a second time, Alan, then or whomever it might be, please, you know, come and speak to us, because we desperately need the human capital. We're not necessarily looking for your money, we're looking for your time, and that's probably more important to us and possibly even more costly. So please come and speak to us, and that applies to the people who are streaming as well. If you've got something that you want to provide to us or could provide to us, please let us know right now, and so that we can put it down in the list.
Just a thought, would it be possible to make our minutes publicly available, get them out to the membership, not in minute form because that's just too boring, but make them interesting so that we communicate regularly?
No, we did.
Because we were saying naughty things behind
AGM, the AGM should definitely be on.
AGM
is definitely.
I am, yeah. Okay.
That draws this AGM to a close. Ellen, you're going to give us a date for the first. Tuesday of next month. The first committee meeting will be on the 6th of December, physically here and via Skype.
Yes.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Are there any other final comments?
Is there anybody else want to say anything before we leave? Final comments? Over here? Thanks, everyone, for attending. Until our next activity.